Got it.
Hi, everyone, and thank you for joining us to this podcast. I'm Debbie Ginsburg from Organize You for Life, and this is Get It Done: Guidelines for the Neurodivergent Individual. And of course, my co-host.
Julie Doris Singfield from My Life Tutors.
And we are very, very excited to bring on our guest, Carly Pepin. And Carly is an international speaker and consultant with a specialized focus on human behavior. She shares the message that regardless of one's background, occupation, or origin, every individual encounters personal and professional challenges stemming from their own perceived flaws. Carly emphasizes that the key to living a fulfilling life lies in how you utilize and transform these stories. So she's devoted her life to mastering the intricacies of human behavior. And today we're inviting Carly to speak about this subject. And Carly, we had spoken prior to this recording, and we'd like for you to start and tell us what you do in your own words.
Awesome. Thank you so much. It's great to be here, you guys. And
Thank
yeah,
you.
so just working with individuals, they come to me when they're feeling stuck and feeling a little bit confused on what the next steps are in their life, in their business. And it's like there's a lot of noise in the head, right? Like there's noise in the head, that cloud, that fog that comes over. So we work together to clear the noise so that they reconnect with themselves and figure out which are the next best steps that they would love to take personally.
Right. And that's so simple because you have to go through their personal issues, which is a course in and of itself. No, because otherwise, if they don't understand themselves, then the interpersonal relationships or in terms of career and growth and college, this is tough. And once you're in college, which Julie and I have discussed, depending upon your symptomology, you may get stuck because of the fact that you've got some hangups. And the biggest thing is the authentic truth. How many people can really understand what the truth is for themselves? Have you encountered that?
Yeah, it's really quite hard. And it's interesting. It's not hard because it's a hard thing to do. It becomes challenging because we have judgments and comparisons that come in. And this is really interesting because this is, what everyone kind of talks about now is imposter syndrome. So imposter syndrome is simply when you compare yourself to someone else, you start to perceive and inject their values and what they're doing into your own life. And the challenge with that is then you start to doubt yourself, you disconnect from yourself, and then all the noise comes in is you're like, am I doing this right? Am I doing this wrong? You've just got a comparison stuck in your head and a self-judgment that has now occurred. So it's easy to overcome in the sense that, yes, we're destined to be ourselves. Like, it's just what we're born to do is just to be authentic and create a life that is inspiring to us. But it's hard in the sense that we get a lot of judgments and comparisons because we might compare ourselves to one person today. And as we move up in our scale of our life and evolve, we compare ourselves to the greater version in the future, the version we think is better than even the one we're comparing ourselves to
Right, which
now.
is very unrealistic. I will say one thing about comparison. I do teach my clients that there's a good way to compare and not such a good way, not beneficial way to compare. When you compare, when you look at someone and say, I like that about them, and then you would like to mimic the good about the other person as opposed to trying to be just like the other person, that's the good side. That's the good, beneficial side of comparing. But if you're going to look at, but the biggest thing that I'm finding, and Julie, you please chime in on this because you see it among your clients. But when they sit there looking at social media, people on social media who are smiling and everything is good, but that's only what they perceive. So when I always paint this image in their head, there's a guy standing on the corner and he is smiling, and you look at him going, oh, that lucky guy. But as a photographer, has the picture where he's zoomed in on the guy, and as you pull out, you start to see there's a gun behind the guy. So he's smiling because he's nervous and he's not happy at all because it is a terrible predicament. So I say to my clients all the time, how would you have known that? That's all they showed you. So we don't know the whole person. We don't really know what's going on. So why bother comparing? And you know what? They're them and you're you. You know, take up your own space. They've taken up theirs. Julie, are you finding that with college students too?
Well, I find that they are very confused in a lot of ways, because they don't know how to get from here to there. So that tends to be what I find in my clients is that they have aspirations, they have plans, but they can't figure out how to get there. They have no conception of the work that it takes to get there. They have no concept, and it's not that they're like thinking, oh, it's going to be easy. They just literally don't know. And they also aren't necessarily intuitive enough to say, let me go ask that person what they're doing, because I can't even put words onto what they're doing. It is much in my clients, I find that when we're doing time management, that clients think they can do the same things for college that they did in high school and be successful. But without the intuition to look around you and see what other people are doing and copy that, they lack that. So we do a lot of work on decision making in order to set goals, in order to move forward, basically.
Right. I think, and I always say that I think there's a sequential thinking issue that you can think of the first step, but you can't think of the second and third step. And Carly, I'm wondering because, of course, we're dealing mostly with the neurodivergent individual, and you have some, not your whole clientele. Do you find that runs across the board for everyone, neurotypical, neuroatypical?
Everyone has a challenge when we're not actually understanding how to break down a goal to such a degree that it becomes digestible, then we don't really know what steps to take, and it's quite interesting because it can be the most complicated, simple thing on the planet. Like if we just spent a couple hours breaking down these goals into such tiny little digestible parts that you could look at it today and say, I know what action to take right now, then what winds up occurring is all of a sudden this becomes something that's not only achievable, but you know what to do.
Debbie, can you mute yourself? There's an echo.
Awesome.
Okay. I
Yes.
just took care of it. Okay.
No worries. So yeah, you actually know what to do. And I find this across the board with, as you said, neurodivergent individuals. And I think whoever's listening who is one, just hear this. It also happens with just someone who isn't a neurodivergent individual, So like you guys are all in the same boat and we're using the same tools and applying it to ensure that we're all not getting confused. Because we can look at these big goals we have and we can get quite overwhelmed. We can get very overwhelmed on what to do and where to go. But also, as Julie said, when you're breaking these goals down, if there's a step that you don't understand, who can you ask for help? Because don't have an unrealistic
Right.
expectation after you break all this down that you're not gonna know how to do everything. So it's
Right.
like, who can you ask for help to be able to either teach you, mentor you, know where to go to study, take the right classes, courses, all those different aspects to help you achieve these goals? Don't think you can do it all on your own. Not
So
one person has. Yeah.
right now I'm very, very focused
Oh,
on
Julie,
communication.
you're muted as well. Yeah.
I guess once they figure that out with you, then they come to me to get the step by step what they do then. But yeah, no, I mean, we are very focused on college success, but even success is relative, and we're focused on all of the mostly the non-academic portions of higher ed. So we are talking to our clients all the time about staying the course, and sticking with the hard work that goes along with some of the changes that they want to make. That sometimes people tend to, I find sometimes that my clients will oversimplify the effort that goes into some. They think it's only going to take this much effort, but in reality, it's going to take this much effort. And being dissuaded sometimes or being knocked off course by the volume, of what it is that they need to do. And that can be hard to make that adjustment without support. So what do most of the people that you work with, what is their age range primarily?
Yeah, I actually have a very diverse age range. So my youngest client is just turned 8 years old. Happy birthday to him. And then my oldest client is almost 70. So I have a pretty diverse age range, but it's interesting because when we talk about moving into, and this again for any college student that's listening, I work with individuals like that young kid who is working on his future goals and career, and then even the older
Eight years
individuals.
old. 8 years old and he's working on his future.
He's working on his career. He's super stoked about
He
it.
may change his mind a few times.
I don't know if he will.
Really?
Oh, he's got it. Some kids, they know what they want to do. Well, a lot of kids do, but yeah, his parents are great at nurturing that. And then even the older individuals were reframing and kind of rebooting the life they had before, and they're starting to do something new and going into a new career and a new path that's more inspiring to them. So it's funny because we expect ourselves to have this level of certainty when we're in college, when the reality is like I work with people all the time who are going back and forth and shifting jobs and careers based off of, hey, like I made the money I wanted in this career, and now I'd love to pursue something that's inspiring to me. And that happens quite frequently. Right. So when we think about actually like setting these goals, putting them in place, ensuring that we have, you know, what we want in place, like it's creating something that's genuinely inspiring to us. And what I like to help people remember is every day your life is demonstrating what you love the most, you know, every single day of your life. If you're focused on, you know, plants, then get into something with plants. If you're focused on video games, focus on the video game industry. Like, what do you love about it? Music. There's so many different jobs in the music industry, in the film industry, fashion industry, you know, like even the self-development and the self-help like industry. There's so many different jobs and opportunities in every industry. Which one do you naturally already gravitate?
Carly, you froze, Carly. I don't think she did. But which ones, I guess she's going to say to gravitate towards.
Yeah, and I mean, sometimes I find that my clients kind of haven't are missing that. They're actually missing figuring out what their niche is.
Right. Oh, that's a hard one,
Yeah,
Julie. I didn't
it is.
really figure out what inspired me till I was close to my 60s. I mean,
Yeah.
I did the first thing Carly was talking about. I did the part where, I was able to earn a lot of money, but it was under tremendous duress, and it was very, very appealing because, boy, I could, I was on top of the world there, but I wasn't satisfied. I kept running up across things that were going against my principles, and I was like, well, I don't know. That doesn't make sense, does it?
No, it doesn't. It doesn't
Yeah.
make much sense.
But at the same time, we have to weigh practical stuff like how much we earn. And sometimes we put
Yes.
ourselves in a position
Absolutely.
where we're earning really mu a lot, but we're not so interested in that particular field because it's dirty, the language is poor, like there's all sorts of things that go on that are not appealing to the person. So I had that conversation with a client today regarding what's important in your life at this time. She's up against where she's just a college student, trying to find a job for the summer, had her thoughts on getting this job in one particular place, and then she didn't get the job. And the person keeps telling her, "Well, I'm still thinking about you." And I said, "Wait, now we have to think about practicality. Okay, that woman keeps saying she's gonna might hire you, and we have only less than 2 months left to your college break. So what's going to be your decision? Are you going to wait for that woman to hire you? Or do you think it's practical for you? And what's practical? Then we have to go through what motivates you,
And
what's
look for a few,
necessary,
right, exactly, like,
and
right. Look
interestingly
for a
enough,
plan B. Yeah.
money was not mo a motivating factor. So it's okay, if money is not a motivating factor, let's figure out what is.
Right.
So Carly, I know Carly, you we
You
froze.
froze.
Unfortunately, we lost you for a little bit. You froze. So we didn't. You hear us, Carly? No, she's not hearing
She's
us.
frozen again. Oh no. Yes, she's still having a hard
Okay.
time. Why
Well,
don't you
you
turn
know
off your
what? This is
camera?
live podcast. Anything can
Right.
happen during a live podcast.
Exactly. Why don't you turn off your camera? See if you're we can hear you if you turn off your current camera.
I don't think Carly can hear us at
I
all.
think I'm
She's quick.
back.
She's for oh, she Are you hearing us, Carly?
I can hear you again. Yes.
Okay,
Okay.
Carly, but your
All right.
video, I think, so we just need your voice actually. There she
You can
goes.
turn off the video.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay,
Thanks, guys.
so we went we took what you were saying and we went further with it. So we'll we can sum up what we said, but I need Julie to do that. So go ahead,
Yeah, I mean,
Julie.
no, we were just, I what I said to her was sometimes I find that my clients don't know what they like at all. You know, don't have a
In terms of
passion
they have
for
no
anything.
inspiration.
Don't,
No, yeah,
you
no
know, don't
inspiration.
have, they want to get somewhere, but they don't know where to go. They don't know where they're going, so they don't know where to go, you know. And so we do like this stuff that you do like with explicit teaching. We go through, how do you figure out what you want to be? How do you do, that kind of stuff. At a very basic level to kind of inspire something in them until they can finally come up with, oh, it's this thing, I want to be an accountant, but I want to be an accountant who in movie theaters, or for movie lots. Those are connections that sometimes we have to make for our clients in order to get them there.
I'm very concerned about with today's career choices and how difficult it is to get what you're looking for, because we have a small problem, and I'm sure everyone's seeing it and feeling it. Colleges have yet to say to students, no, steer away from this subject because there are no jobs left. Because they're still make a money-making machine, colleges, and they've got that computer science program specifically. I'm going to speak about computer science. So computer science degree, I'm working with so many people who cannot get a job in it. And my next door neighbor who graduated from pretty good school said to me that many of his college classmates could not find a job. He was one of the lucky ones. And it wasn't even what he wanted because it's remote. So what happens? We're in a situation where people might have inspiration or might have been motivated to do something, and you've helped them get there, but they can't get what they want. Now what?
Yeah, this is an interesting dynamic too, because you tell me that and I want to be like, well, I'm gonna figure it out. Like, I'm gonna figure it out. It's why I'm an entrepreneur, it's why I'm a business owner. And so you can listen to everyone tell you no. Okay. But the general way that even before when I got jobs, I would just literally, I hounded people. If I wanted a job, I hounded people until I got the jobs I wanted and I got in the industries I wanted. I started from the bottom up. It's not just about your education, it's also you as an individual and what you're willing to do to stand out and how hard you're willing to work to not just get the job, but keep the job and expand in the job.
Does any do you know, Julie, in
And
terms of what's out
companies.
there? Oh, you're still okay, Carly. We
Oh,
froze again.
sorry.
We went on a you know us, if you if,
It's
if there's a blank space, we just keep talking.
okay. I totally get it. I'm the same.
I
But
mean,
yeah.
have you researched the job market? I mean, this is what I'm finding, that what happened to me was many years ago. And even though you are a young person, it's still years ago. The world was turned, on the axis when the inflation started, everything started, and then things are changing. Things are really changing. So has anyone researched, the availability of jobs? I mean, I'm working with people who are telling me, I went for an interview exactly in the field that I have had experience of over 10 years in this field, and within 10 minutes the interview was over.
So this is really interesting too, because I have some clients who, when they're, going after jobs and stuff, they have about like 800 to 1,000 applicants applying for the same job, and it can be quite challenging. And again, it's like, what are you going to do about it? This is, and it just, it is what it is. What are you going to do about it? How are you going to get in front of an individual that is 800 to 1,000 people that are applying for the job? How are you going to do it? Tell me how. Come up with a creative solution. How, who are you going to talk to? Who are you going to take out to lunch? Who are you going to go meet? What are you going to do? Get out of your office, get out of your home, get away from your computer, and maybe go a little bit old school. Do something to make yourself stand out. Because if you're not going to do that, you're not going to get the job. There's a ton of people and there's a ton of options. So it's a benefit for the companies because the companies are getting to pick from the best of the best. They're narrowing down all these applications. But if you come in and you show them that you're the best and you do something to stand out in that crowd, like that's what it's going to take nowadays, and if you still can't get a job, it's like, well, what can you do on the side? There's a day that I realized I was unemployable and I looked at my parents and I said, you know what, I am unemployable. And I was like, I don't know where I would get a job, I don't know how I would do it. And I looked at them and I was like, I'm just going to figure this out. I will find my own way. And it's one of the best things I ever did for myself. So also
I
being
can actually relate to
unemployable,
that story.
yeah,
I
it's
can
not a
relate to that story.
curse. You can
Well,
apply
then
your
what happened was is
education, your skills to other
that
things.
right. So in my case, it was that one, I had a situation where my fee was too high, and then I had run my own company. They couldn't see me as a team player. So it sort of pushed me into staying as an owner. because and I had to find just a new way to service the, you know, the world because I do work globally. And that's really the reality that they want you to be this peg that fits in to their particular hole. And I'm just not like that, and I don't always fit. So Julie and I both have to have take what you're doing and try to give enough information to these particular young people so that they can be different, but they don't know necessarily how to be different. And I had, you know, they're telling some of them are saying so many of them are looking for jobs. They asked me if I have any questions. Well, I don't. I said, well, we could work on that. We could always have general
You
questions
always
if
have
somebody
questions,
asks.
right? We can,
Yeah.
we come up with a list of questions, right?
Right. So they said, but I can't think on my feet, which happens because what happens? The anxiety grows because it's a tense oriented type of situation and their minds shut down.
I mean, I even have a hard time with that. And so, before when I will go to it, when I have an interview with someone, I pre-plan what my questions are going to be, you know, and that's something that I didn't know on my own necessarily. I don't know that anybody knows that on their own, but that's how I would prepare, you know, for an interview. Because I also don't, I don't come up with that. You know, what's your favorite movie? Oh my God.
Right.
Or tell me a story, tell me something, you know, tell me something you're proud of or something like that. You know,
I'm
I
proud that I
realize
knew to show up on time to this meeting.
it.
That would go over big.
But yeah, and I think, you know, this, I think that one of the things that I think we're all working toward, you know, I saw something on the news that said that people are more anxious than ever before. People are more worried than ever before. There is this post-COVID phenomenon, you know, for people, and depending on how old you were when it happened, determine, you know, the impact on you. And there's a lot of people out there who are just kind of not clear about where they're going, you know.
Anyone dealing with entitlement that the kids graduate from school and they feel they're entitled and there are no jobs? Carly, do you come across entitlement with your
Well,
clients?
there's sometimes there's a level of perceiving like, well, I earned this and I deserve this and like I should have this and because I did XYZ, but the reality is it's just not how it works. Sometimes if you're working within a company and you genuinely show and demonstrate that you've done the work and they're not, you know, I just had a client who this was happening to. They're not actually pursuing being able to promote you and they just keep promising things and making you work and keep doing more. He left and found a better job, better pay with more room for growth, right? So genuinely, if you are entitled, you will get the other job that will offer it to you
That's what
because
I
you are
say.
genuinely entitled to it and you have earned it. But if you haven't earned it and you keep getting, you know, shot down, it might be wise to look and see like, well, are you actually perceiving like this level of entitlement that I deserve it, but I haven't done the work to put it in, right? Where a lot of people who you may be competing against, it's like we said, the job market's a little bit flooded. And in that sense, you might be competing against people who do have the 10-year background, you know, and it's not to say you can't swipe it out from under them. Trust me, I've swiped some jobs from people, but what are you going to do to stand out, right? And I think it's like also, you know, I work with individuals to help them get through anxiety and stressors and all that stuff. But life is also life. Everyone has stressors. I have stressors. Today's actually like a real rough day for me, but you're not going to be able to tell because I'm on a podcast and I'm doing something that I love, right? So when I say find something that you love, I'm not saying it out of a fluffy, like, let's just do this for, you know, because we want to and it sounds cool. I'm saying it because no matter what's going on in your life, when you're focused on things that are inspiring to you, it doesn't matter how much anxiety you have. It doesn't matter how hard your day is. You're going to get up and do it anyways, right? That's it. You get up and do it anyways. And so that's why it's important when you find something like a job that aligns with that, you get up and do it anyways. And even before I knew these principles, I was focused on jobs that gave me those opportunities, and they were quite challenging. If I go through and give you guys like the details of the stuff that I was dealing with in my office environments, which I'm pretty sure is like so much crazy stuff that's like highly illegal, like stuff was going on and occurring, and you look at like office culture, and I'm like, oh my gosh, it was insane. But at the same time, I got up and went to work every day. And I got through it because I loved what I was doing, you know? So we can sit there and say, I can't figure my stuff out. I don't know what to do. But everyone gets confusion. Everyone has uncertainty. And if you have a choice, you not making a decision to just figure something out and do something is a
It's a
decision.
choice.
So you can, it's a choice. You make the choice to sit there and say, yes, I have uncertainty. Yes, I don't know what to do right now. Yes, I'm confused. But what am I gonna do to get to the other side? And if you just wake up and ask yourself that question over and over and over and over again, you're gonna start to get some answers. But if you just keep saying those things without answering and asking those follow-up questions, then you just keep repeating the cycle and pattern of I'm stuck and I can't do anything. And it's disempowering to yourself because that's not who you are. I work with enough people on this planet to know what we're capable of. And if you think I'm different than you, no way, man. Everyone has the same like level of energy, inspiration, fulfillment, fuel. It's just doing and focusing on the right quality questions instead of what's wrong with me, what's wrong with me, what's wrong with me. It's like, what's the next step? What can I do next? How can I move forward? How can I get out of this? And you just keep asking yourself those questions and then take action. Physical action, super important. Sometimes people think about things and then take action. Just take action. And on the hard days, you'll find if, again, if it's something that's fulfilling and you love it, you'll do it anyways. You'll totally do it. I promise you'll do it anyways.
Yes, and in terms of motivation, I would love to hear from you and Julie in terms of other ideas than what I have. I always use the why. If you know your why, it'll be a better source of inspiration and motivation. Anyone else can add to that?
Yes, and I think it's important to know your why, not just from like a passion or, you know, or perspective, but sometimes just because that's the job that you have chosen to do in order to facilitate this other stuff. So, you know, getting clients to understand that you don't have to love the job you have. It's just,
Just
you
look
know,
for the
as long
silver
as they
lining.
do.
Look for the silver lining.
Exactly. You know, if this is a job where you don't have homework and you have regular hours and you get paid enough so that you can go to Comic-Con every weekend, well, fantastic. But you still have to know your why, because it's terrible for someone to think that they're at a job that they love and it turns out they're at a job that pays them. You
Yeah,
know.
and
I'm
that's a
really,
beautiful.
yeah.
Oh,
You
I was
also,
gonna say,
Carly, you have
yeah.
ideas. Okay.
I was gonna say too, that's a beautiful example because the why in that case is the Comic-Con,
Yes,
you know? And
exactly.
it's like, I actually just want to go to Comic-Con and do that kind of stuff. And some people, and that there's nothing wrong with that. If that's what inspires you and you're like, I just want to get off work and do whatever I want and have a 9 to 5 and just clock in and clock out, that's okay. There are jobs that are totally aligned with that, and you get to do that, and you get to do what you love. You get to do whatever you want, you know? And so this is really cool because it's like, it is, what's the why? And when you were saying like, that's the greater motivation. It is the inspiration from within. It's not, this is the best type of motivation because true motivation on the outside requires someone else to push you. You're going to be driven by an outside force, right? But when you have that deeper why, you're inspired from within, and nobody has to wake you up every day to remind you to do that thing. And that's a huge level of self-empowerment and fulfillment, fuel, energy that you get from moving forward. It's really cool. It's really quite inspiring.
Okay, thank you. I think we're going to be ending soon, so I just want to bring up that for our particular clients, you know, we are basically giving them some navigation in terms of where they should go. And with regards to the statistics, they find that a lot of students, a lot of young people who have ADHD, the best thing for them is to start their own businesses if they can use any of us to be able to decide, not decide, but to learn, how do I deal with my time management, my procrastination, all those things. And I, of course, come from the philosophy that it's your emotions, and Carly and I share that a lot of your emotional is what's blocking you from reaching those obstacles. And once you can understand yourself, you'd be able to, you know, do such a thing and then not be so dissatisfied with what's out there. But you do need a certain type of personality and you do need certain types of talent. It's not the easiest to just open your own business and poof, it works. But I do believe that you, if you have somebody, like some people have a business coach, but you might need an emotional coach or some guidance, someone, you know, who can help you with all of this. Any you guys can wrap it up with what you want to add to this,
Yeah,
Holly?
absolutely. Yeah, and this is cool too, because even with the ADHD components, I've had the opportunity to work with a lot of individuals who have had it. As when we look at our lives, right? And this goes with everyone on the planet, there's going to be things that you, even when you have ADHD, pay attention to the things that you can hyper focus on that holds your attention, and focus on more of that. Right? Don't focus on the things that you're having a hard time that's not holding your attention. See what's genuinely holding your attention. And you'll be quite fascinated to see that there's certain things that you have a high level of concentration in and certain things that you don't. And when you could take those things, and again, whether you put it into a job, whether you put it into a company, a business, that's up to you. Right? But the opportunities are there for you, but pay attention to yourself. The more you know about yourself, the more that you can apply these things to the careers that you want. And again, if you want a business and go on that path, which as you said, it's not easy. It's a different type of challenge, but if you're up for the challenge, it's a challenge. So yeah, it's quite inspiring when you actually know yourself enough and ask yourself those questions and pay attention to who you are and what you do on a daily basis. You'll realize that what you were looking for has been in front of your face the whole time. You know, it's just
Absolutely.
right in front of your
That's
face.
powerful. And Julie, you want to wrap it up for us?
No, I think the stuff that you're saying is fantastic. You know, it's very much along the line of what we do, you know, with our clients as well. The whole finding your why, the remembering your why, you know, moving forward is really important to us. But it's been so nice to talk to you, Carly. Thanks so much for your time today.
Yeah, thank you guys.
Okay, so we thank Carly Pepin for being our guest today with all this wonderful information in her field of human behavior. And I want to thank Julie, whose business is, go ahead, Julie, give a little
My
plug.
life tutors, and thank Debbie, whose business is.
Organize You for Life. We're at different stages. We are at different stages. So we all together can help everybody, which is so important. Okay, so thank you for joining us, and we hope we'll see you next time on Get It Done, the guidelines for the neurodivergent individual.